The Arkansas Derby Day $100 budget edition of the Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And folks, as always,
it's all good, baby. It was all a dream.
We used to read Bloodhorse Magazine. I got my Cuban links on.
Yes, Cuban B.
And I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oakland.
I'd rather be trapped high than lazy. Don't care what they say, I'm going to do what pays me.
Every year about this time, weaklings act like they lost their mind. Alphas reclaim the neighborhood, rob the sheep and all the wolves. Hey,
yes, that's right. We have new intro music. Big thank you to the artist, who's a good friend of mine, Adrian Tillman, a.k.a. 607. If you like that, check out his Spotify. You can find it. 607. It's that easy. 607 is his name. Check that out. But I've wanted to have that as like a sound drop ever since the first day since I did the pod. So this is a big, you know, I'm going to play it again.
I'd rather be trapped high than lazy. Don't care what they say, I'm going to do what pays me.
It happens every year about this time. Weaklings act like they lost their mind. Alphas reclaim the neighborhood. Rob the sheep and all the wolves. Hey.
There we go. Yes, it's a big day here. It's a big day here. It's a big week. It's a high holiday. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me, you might know him from his great work at Naira Betts, or you might know him for Twitter, where he failed to menace but succeeded to steal America's heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Matthew DeSantis.
If you like Kenya Colada.
Welcome
if
to the show, Matthew.
If you're not in yoga, if you have half a brain.
If you like making love at midnight, you got to hit that. You got to get the soulful gravel in at that point.
Yeah, because really, you can't go high, so you got to go gravelly. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, it overcomes a lot going gravelly. what's up, buddy? How are you doing? Welcome to the show. Of course.
First of all, honored to be the guest. When you debut 607's music for the first time, very awesome. Love the new drop. Love the music. Going to definitely check them out on Spotify. So thank you for the music recommendation, maybe right off the top. I'm doing great. Living life up here in New York, covering all sorts of racing. We got a huge weekend. It is the high holy season. And we got Dubai World Cup on Saturday. We got Arkansas Derby. We got Florida Derby. The next week, we got the Wood. We got the Bluegrass. I mean, we're in the meat of it. And it is exciting to see all these different races and not just the Derby races. A lot of great races on the undercard as well. Oak Lawn Mile and the Matron and a bunch of other great races Hot Springs and Oak Lawn this weekend. But yeah, man, just, pumping out a lot of content and trying to, keep pace with everything that's going on out there.
Yeah, it's already been a crazy week for me. I want to say three things yesterday, including one episode of this pod. Doing an episode of this pod, then I'm going to be on with the On the Wrong Lead Boys tonight. So also way better. Nice to be busy whenever it's your tracks banner weekend. I'd be worried if I wasn't busy.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I have, a bunch of people lined up for next week with Wood, obviously, up here at Aqueduct. And, that'll be great. But, it's great to be able to talk about your home track. And I always think of you when, you know, when I talk about Oak Lawn, and I've been sharing some of the stats that I've been collecting with you about the middle move at Oak Lawn being, you know, highly effective. And it's just really so cool to see, because you've been talking to me about the middle move at Oak Lawn for years, but it's so cool to see being able to quantify something like that.
Right.
And then to be able to go, no, 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 Oak Lawn is actually statistically quite different from literally every other track in North America when it comes to two-turn dirt races.
Yep.
And that should completely change the way you think about handicapping this track in particular.
Yeah, it's been this is okay. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to go off the reservation, essentially.
Go off,
I
can't son, go off.
I'm not sure if that term is still okay, but I'm going to use it. So here's the deal. It's been just one of the fairest surfaces in the country for the entire meet, in terms of if there's too much speed, it's going to break down. People are going to be able to come from off the back. You can wire if it's slow. I mean, it's been, as far as pace plays, it's been pretty true to the pace. Here's the deal, though. I kind of think Saturday things get a little speedy. Get a little moving sidewalky there on the rail, perhaps, you know?
Now, is it because there are certain tracks that have this reputation, right? Pimlico, I know, always on a big day, it's just like running on concrete. And nobody passes anybody. Tampa Bay Downs on a big day, kind of renowned for souping up their track big time. Oak Lawn, I don't know if they have that reputation necessarily. Like, on a big day, do they really soup the track up, and does it get really speed favoring as opposed to literally the rest of the year, where you're absolutely right, probably the fairest dirt surface that I've covered in track stats this year?
I've seen it happen before. I'll say it that way. I've seen it happen before. And part of it that makes me think that you could see it is that we haven't had rain since like Monday here, which is out of the norm for the rest of this meet. Like, there's been by this time it's rained like three or four times during the week with Oak Lawn. So yeah, you get away with you have a much drier surface. I think you might see it a little, scrape down. I always am pumping Crystal Conning for information. Like, did you gallop this morning? What did it look like? You know, where's it good? What does it look like and everything? And she'll usually tell me if something comes up. So I'm going to see if that happens. But that's, I feel like, just one of those days where it might be one of those days where everything is just kind of thrown out the window and it's like, just go with the speed. Which would, you're right, be a complete statistical aberration from everything else that we've seen this year.
Right. And that always makes the guesswork a little bit more complicated, because you start going, well, under normal conditions, I like this horse, but maybe on Saturday it could be like this. And if that's the case, then here's kind of the alternative horse that I like, you know? So this goes back to something that I know you and I both talk about with people, and Andy Sterling brings it up all the time about, you know, in terms of, he often, and he and David Aragona both do a lot in terms of the track bias. And this is why watching those first couple of races is so important. And even if you're not betting races 1-3, watch races 1-3. Our horses staying up in the lead that have no business being up in the lead is, you know, our 20-1 shots. I mean, no, but now at Oakland, that's a little bit harder to differentiate, because there's a lot of 20-1 shots to win.
True.
But horses that have never shown form to be able to hang, all of a sudden getting a distance. And, you know, is there not any passing going on? But those are the kind of indicators of, okay, maybe I need to adjust what I was thinking later in the card based upon what I see early in the card.
That's right. And watch more than just that first maiden race, because those are usually one gate to wire, and you will think to yourself, oh man, speed's good today. No, it was just a maiden race run like every single other maiden race that you've ever seen. Of course, you're listening to the Notorious OTB on SGPN, but SGPN is home to 20 plus gambling podcasts, all completely free. And in honor of March Madness, this week's featured shows are the Sports Gambling Podcast, the flagship SGPN, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green, where the guys have picked every tournament game against the spread since 2012. And of course, the College Basketball Experience, Colby Dan, aka Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mac, and producer Noah B continue their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. Subscribe today to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience wherever you get your podcast. Well, let's dive into it, Matthew. What are we talking about? We're talking about, that's right, this Saturday, the Oak Lawn Derby card, Saturday. the 30th of March, year of our Lord, 2024. First post, 1:05 Eastern, 12:05 God's time, 10:05 over on the Pacific Coast. We got a $100 budget. You can play any race, any wager type, whatever makes that cash money. I have not seen Matthew's plays ahead of time, but I do know where he's making them and which races because I'm a good host. So I can tell you safely that Matthew's going to be taken away. His first play comes right out of race three. Race three, six furlongs, $120,000. Maiden special weight for three-year-olds. Matthew, take it away, sir.
Yeah, so this is a race, maiden special weight race. And listen, I always am going to go to a horse. I love second-time starters. They typically take a step forward next time out, particularly if you see certain things in the running lines that make you think that this horse has an opportunity to move forward. And so I'm going to start off with a very simple bet, just a $10 win place bet on number 9, Jester Sang, who is 8-1 on the morning line for McLean Robertson. And this is a horse that ran 5th behind Coach Jimmy D, who's your 2-1 morning line favorite last time out, but recorded a 70 buyer speed figure in that race. And I think as an opportunity to move forward, that was over a good sealed track. You mentioned there's going to be, you know, no rain in the forecast. So you're going to get a dry fast track on Saturday. This horse kind of has the running line of a horse that needed a race off the bench, just kind of flattened out a little bit late. And I would expect this horse to continue to move forward with a little bit more conditioning. I think 8-1 is more than a fair price in a big field. I think you'll get maybe 6-1, 7-1. So I don't mind playing a little bit of a win place bet there. So I'll start off with just, like I said, $10 win place bet on the 9. Make it nice and simple in race number 3.
Before we move, because you have a play in race 4, before we move to that next play, was keeping it simple kind of going to be a theme for you, or did you get in some more exotic bets?
For this, it's funny. I always think for the podcast, I never want to get too exotic. Like, I never want to do like a pick 4 because I'm like, listen, there's too many races now to explain and like where I'm going in each of these. So right. A lot of times I try to do either like straight win place bets, exactas, or an occasional daily double. So I do try to keep it pretty straightforward in terms of like my base bets. And like, these are those races where I have the strongest opinion. I think that's pretty indicative of kind of the way I try to approach this on, at least on the podcast, where I think it's a little bit easier to explain. Oh, you know, if somebody's listening, they can follow win place bet as opposed to what leg of the sequence are they on now? Like that sort of a thing. So yeah. Just a little bit easier.
Yeah, I agree. And I asked that because I had basically my strategy was I'm going to win bet everything because I hate letting, you know, winners walk out the door. You know, I hate getting a winner, not getting paid for it. And then just exactas are hard enough to hit at this track. I'm just going to stick to, you know, it's going to be win bets and exactas pretty much. Because even, I'll stretch to one trifecta, but that's just me being adorable. Like, you know, otherwise I think pretty much, you know, it's hard to not only hit winners at Oakland, but also hit exactas. So I don't want to get too cocky. All right. We got your next play in race 4, 8 furlongs, $75,000 non-winners of one, I guess in 2020, or haven't won since 2023, December 4th, 2023.
Look up your own conditions.
Yeah, this is why it goes really bad. This is why I don't read conditions. Did you hear me fumbling all over that? God damn. All right, Matthew, you know the conditions. Tell the folks about this race.
Yeah, so this is an interesting race. Going a mile, like you said, $75,000 claimer, which is obviously a high price tag. So you have some pretty nice horses in this field, you know, some horses that have been stakes races, etc. There's a horse in this race that I'll just very briefly mention. I'm not going to be using the number 3 Dash Attack for Ken McPeak. This feels like a very suspicious class drop. And this is a horse that has been running in graded stakes company and not running particularly well. I mean, I think lost the last 3 races combined by almost 50 plus lengths. And now all of a sudden is dropping into a claiming 75. This feels like McPeak wanting to get this horse into another barn more than anything else. So that's a horse that I just was like, nope, I don't want any part of that horse. So as a result, I'm just going to play a straight $10 exacta, and I'm going to use the number five, Strava, and the number four, Trident Hit. These are two horses that I like. Strava's 2-1, your morning line favorite. Horse is coming off a really nice second, actually, last time out in $75,000 optional claimer for Norm Cassie's barn. Second by a neck of that day. And, you know, ran as kind of a 5-1 fourth choice in that race and had a little bit of traffic trouble as well, going a mile. So I like the horse, ran well over fast track at the distance. And really, this is a horse that has some really good back class and seemed to have rediscovered its form last time out. So this is a horse that's kind of the opposite a little bit of Dash Attack, and that this is a horse that seems to actually be coming back into form rather than drifting out of it. And then the number four, Trident Hit, 5-1 for Ron Moquette. This horse just looks like a really consistent runner. The last two times this horse has run against Claiming Company, or the last two of the last three times, I should say, has gotten wins. A second, the other time running against Claiming Company. So this is kind of the right level for this horse, coming off a little bit of a freshening, very even running lines, versatile running style. So I just went 5-4 straight exacta, $10 for that one.
Trident Hit was my single in the early pick five, actually.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Nice. I considered all those horses that you were on too. I was going to say, like your horse that you had in the previous race, that was another one I was also on in the early pick five. Speaking of being on things, I don't know what that means. Here we go. Cut is this peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus tons of social features that give the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds, and you can create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Plus, it's got cool social features like group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. Get cash back every single time you bet against you or your friends or other users. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And also, we're brought to you by our good friends at Underdog Fantasy, who have the fastest, easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's the fastest growing app in the industry. Plus, you can play their fun pick 'em game where you can pick whether your favorite player will have a higher or lower stat total in the week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick 'em entry. Listen, I love it. I signed up for it. I put in $20. Boom. I got my deposit bonus. There I was, picking highers and lowers, and I'm such a pessimist. All I do is take lowers. Take that shit to the lower level homes. So sign up today with promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick and special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick and special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, and as always, I've got to get a little rehydration break in.
I got ice all over my body looking like a snowman. Big rocks in the grill dancing like a slow jam. My chain's so heavy, I'm walking like an old man. Try me, you.
All right, we're back. $100 budget for the Arkansas Derby Saturday card. And it's essentially been the Matthew show. He has a lot more early action than I do. And that continues with a daily double, it looks like, that starts in race 5, a 8-furlong, $120,000 maiden special weight, and stretches into race 6, $150,000 non-winners of 1-something allowance. Matthew, take her away.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep the race 5 analysis relatively brief because I'm going to single in this leg into a little bit of a more spready race in the next leg. And so in this one, I'm going to single the Bob Baffert entry, Bonacqua, who's getting the blinkers added. JJ Hernandez up on the mount. This horse coming in from California, finished second last time out, has finished second all three races. I do like the addition of blinkers, as that might help this horse focus a little bit more on the stretch. In particular, the comments that you made about, you know, maybe this track is a little bit more speed favoring, I think only would play into this particular horse's hands. There's not a ton of speed necessarily signed on in this race. And so this feels like a pretty strong bet for me. Definitely like it when Bob kind of also brings over a plus one in addition to Muth for this race. So I'm going to single there, and then I'm going to move over to the next race and spread a little bit more.
So singling in the fifth with the two, Bonacqua, Bodina, Bonacqua, Bodina. That's right. Had to get that in at some point. I thought about doing it with Keith yesterday, but I was like, I'm going to blow Keith's mind. I can't do this. you folks out there in audio land can't see that, like, Matthew just gave me excited little baby claps for this. Go ahead. Tell us how you're wrapping it up in race six.
Yeah. So just to be clear, it's going to be a $5 base daily double, overall value $20, because I'm going to go two in the first leg, and then I'm going to go 1, 3, 6, 7 in the second leg. So it's going to be basically a $4 base, or it's a $4 bet, $5 base, $20 overall bet. So I'm going to go 2, 1, 3, 6, 7. So, you know, a lot of those horses are pretty logical. Shopper's Revenge in number one for Steve Asmussen, coming off a long layoff, but a horse that obviously, you know, ran fourth in the Louisiana Derby last year and has been off for quite some time, but coming back and looking to be in pretty good form. Great to see a couple of really strong 5-furlong workouts leading up to this race, and is the number one post 3-1 on the inside rail. I also like that Asmussen's, you know, bringing this horse back at 6 furlongs rather than trying to stretch this horse out. I also am a little bit interested in the three, which is a bit of a swing, which is Night Radio. And this is a horse that's second off a layoff and is second race at Oak Lawn, third race, I guess, career at Oak Lawn, second race this year at Oak Lawn. And I thought ran pretty well last time out, ran a close up fourth. The leader that day was 3 lengths clear of everybody else. And then this really finished in a blanket finish with everybody else right there. And so could have very easily finished second. The speed figure is solid at 81. And Boyd Castor, the trainer, doesn't have any wins for this meet, but it's 8-for-12 in the money. So he's getting his horses ready and they're firing pretty effectively. So at 15-1, going to include that one as a little bit of a bomb. And then the 6 and 7, I'm Wide Awake. Another one who I think, you know, is probably a little off the beaten path, but a horse that has really, really good speed. If it is a speed favoring track, this one certainly could potentially jump up and wire the field. And coming out of claiming competition, but high level claimers, 62,005 last time out. And then the number 7, Juilliard, another horse coming out of high level claiming races, this level of allowance race. I caught sealed tracks the last 2 times out, getting back over a dry fast track, I think might help this horse move a little bit forward. Good effort last time out. And again, good front end speed for this race. But part of my logic with using a couple of maybe unlikely horses is I just don't really trust a horse like Bourbon Bash, number 4 horse, to win. This horse is 1-for-20 winning lifetime, always seems to get close, but doesn't actually get the deal done. And then Clean Air is a horse that I know it's your kind of Dirty Pig Boy angle with the all weather to the dirt, but this horse, I feel like if you were going to get this horse, it was going to be the last time out, and now stepping up against slightly tougher competition. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to replicate that 94 buyer speed figure from that last race. So I was going to kind of play against those two and go to a couple of other alternatives.
Yeah. It's a good time to fade them off of the Dirty Pig Boyness whenever they peak, freak off that surface change. So, all right, moving on. We go to race 8. This is where I finally dip my toe in.
Welcome.
Yeah, you know that's not how that's going to go on Derby Day itself. It's going to be like, all right, we got an hour to post, to first post, and I've locked in early, middle, and late pick fives. I'm dabbling in the cross countries. Race 8, 8.5 furlong, $150,000, non-winners and 1-something allowance. I'm going to kick it off with a good old-fashioned pick one, $10 win bet on the number 7 Underhills tab. So $10 win.
Look at us.
Underhills.
Look at us.
Oh yeah, is that the case?
Yeah. Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
First of all, that price just oof. Feels like swimming in butterscotch pudding, that price. I love it. Underhill's tab should sit a great wide stalking trip off of what could be a three-way pace tussle, I think. And I, you know, like I said, kind of spilled the beans with the fact that I'm looking at early speed and first run type horses for Saturday, because I believe that the track just might be juiced for early speed on Arkansas Derby Day. But I love the trip this one should get. I love what it did in the stretch out to a mile last out, coming up just short. I think this one might have been asking for a little bit of this extra distance. And I'm going to use it in a part wheel exacta here. $2 exacta. Going to be 5.7 with 2.567, which I believe is a $12 bet, which puts me in for 22 total. I'm using my long shot getting the wide stocking trip in Underhill's tab, and the speed that I like on top being the 5. Captivating boy in that exacta, and then wheeling in the 2.567 into second. Matthew, you already let me know you like Underhill's tab. How are you playing it?
We're playing this race actually pretty similar. It's funny, you know, I think I spread and played more races overall than you in this, but this was probably the race where I leveraged the most amount of money actually in my bankroll. And so I also went with a $10 win bet on the 7 for all the reasons you mentioned. Just really like this horse and think this could sit the absolute perfect trip, like the Tyler stays aboard as well. And
I don't know if we get it. Mind-bending that Tyler Gaffalione is riding on this card, by the way.
Yeah, not Gulfstream Park.
Why isn't he in Gulfstream? You know, it's interesting. I'm just saying.
It's very interesting. There's a lot of jockey moves that we could talk about for a while that I think are interesting.
Yeah,
that are taking place.
For sure.
And then I'm also going to attack it from an exacta standpoint. So I'm going to do a $2 base exacta key box with the 7 keyed, and I'm going to use the 1.456. And so overall, that's a $16 bet. So $10 win on the 7, and then a $2 exacta key box with the 7 keyed. 1.456. The 1 King Russell is admittedly more of a deep closer, but a horse that does like to run up into the exacta quite regularly. The 4 is a little bit more of a price. Again, we talked about Boyd Caster and the fact that his horses have been running pretty well and running up into the money and up into the exacta during this meet. Is an 8-1 horse that, again, I think has good tactical speed and can sit a pretty helpful trip here. The 5 for the reasons you mentioned. And then finally, the 6, prove worthy, 5-1 for Norm Cassie. Horse coming off a significant layoff, used to be in the Todd Pletcher barn, but this is one who's, I just like the work pattern that I've seen from this horse. And it looks like this horse has, like I said, gotten pretty good conditioning and might need to show a little bit more early speed, but willing to take a shot with this one as well.
If you believe the Brisnet late pace figures, the average late pace figure for prove worthy for this distance and surface was a 101, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's definitely a one run kind of horse that will be doing its best running late to get a piece. That's for sure. You know, one that you definitely want to use in your exactas.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, I've got to play in race 9.
I'm going to sit back and not do anything.
Yeah, you deserve it. Do you need a? Do you
I'm going to let
a
you towel? Monologue.
Do you need a towel? Would you need a bottled water? A Dasani, perhaps? I've got race 9, 8 furlongs, the $500,000 Oaklawn Mile. That's right. It's a Grade 3 stakes. And to kick it off, like I said, I'm going to win bet because it's. One, it's hard to win at this track. And when you have the winner, make sure you get paid. So I'm going to do a $10 win bet on the 5, Necker Island, at 8-1. This horse are, it's complicated with me and Necker Island, I guess I would say. Like, I think if we were in high school, me and Necker Island are talking, you know? You throw out the last two performances where Necker Island had a slow start after traffic trouble and the start before that. With those tossed, you see a horse that's in pretty good form. That's plenty fast enough to be involved in this race. Then on top of that, the pace really fits for Necker Island. I don't think that that'll, you know, he'll spot this field enough lengths that he can't make up with a middle move by the top of the short stretch. So I kind of like he's got the extra real estate a little bit with the mile. And I kind of like the where he should be moving to how it fits to the track configuration. And then I'm just going to play a $5 exacta for $10 total here. Five with 6-7. I'm going to key my top opinion that I feel high on in this bet with Necker Island with two other horses that I think kind of fit the pace complexion of the race. And that's Last Samurai, who is a fucking mind bender, mind boggling horse to me and always has been. Will probably be the horse that beats me because of it. And then I'm also going to use the 7 Frost and Grace for Mike Maker with Ramon Vasquez up as another horse I think definitely can you know pop into second place. And for the love of God, it's got 14 places as opposed to 10 wins in its career, so it be coming in second a lot, I guess would be the way to say it. Did you have any thoughts on the 9th on the Oaklawn Mile?
Yeah, this was I thought this was a really interesting race. I definitely, you know, share your opinion on Necker Island. I mean, this is a horse that I have gone back to many times as well. And I just, you know, some of the other horses that I think are going to attract money, I'm not maybe as willing to take that short of a risk on. And so a horse like Dennington, just I just have a hard time trusting necessarily in the spot, especially coming off a layoff. And so I think if you're looking at a alternative, I think it makes a ton of sense. So definitely like this one. And I think Midnight Rising is your biggest potential threat to win. But I like Necker Island at the price for sure.
All right. Well, let's move it on. And we hit Matthew's 5th play here. I like that you like I had been going a lot like slimmer. I've been doing maybe like 3 plays on a card. I like that we're both kind of exploring the space a little bit. Making a little bit of handicapping jazz.
You hate jazz. Yeah. You fear jazz. Huh? Ah,
shut
yeah.
your mouth.
Yeah, you fear jazz, don't
no,
you?
No, I don't.
You fear the lack of rules.
No.
The lack of boundaries. Ooh, it's a fence. No, it's soft. Ah, what's happening? The shapes, the chaos.
Yeah. Let's get it. Matthew, race 11. What's your fantasy? The grade 3, $750,000, Kentucky Oaks points on the table. Which direction did you go with this?
So this is a really interesting race. And I think you could make a few different arguments here. I really do. I will just say I'm a big fan of the number one horse, My Main Squeeze, who's a New York bred, who I've seen run many times. And I will definitely be rooting for that horse. I do not love the 3-1 morning line price on a horse that's stepping out of state restricted competition for the first time. And I think that scares me a little bit, although admittedly, this is a horse that has just answered the bell every single time the last 3 races, all against stakes competition, but is stretching out to a new distance. There's 2 horses that kind of caught my eye in this race, and I decided to just do a $5 exacta box of them. And that's the number 5, Where's My Ring, and the number 12, Torpedo Anna. And the number 5, Where's My Ring, is a horse coming in from California, and it's still a maiden. And I think that's a relevant point to bring up, not only because obviously maidens running against the greatest stakes company is pretty rare, but if you remember, the last Oaks Prep at Oaklawn was won by a horse that was a maiden, Lemon Muffin. So that is not completely shocking. And this horse, despite being a maiden, is stakes placed and graded stakes placed, finishing 2nd last time out in the grade 3 to the Bob Baffert horse Kinza, who I think many observers would argue is one of the top, if not the top, filly 3-year-old in training right now. So if this horse is good enough to finish 2nd to her, then I think this horse might be good enough to hit the board or at least get up for a piece in this particular race. And the speed figures have been solid. The horse has gone 2 turns twice, and including that last race. So it's a little bit of a little bit of a risk, obviously, to play a horse that's a maiden, but I'm willing to do it there. And then the other one is Torpedo Anna. And this is a complicated relationship that I have with Ken McPeak. And that's something which, you know, we can talk about while I'm laying down on couch in therapy. But 7-2 on the morning line, this is a horse that looked absolutely dominant in her first two races, then ran a fine race, but was a kind of a pretty distant second to Intricate, who we've seen come back to run well before since then. And now coming off the bench for McPeak, horse has been training fantastically. And if the horse can run back to that race in November at Churchill Downs, that could be a really big effort. And I just think this is a horse that looks to be pretty talented. And I've not been overwhelmed by this crop of three-year-old fillies. And so that's why I'm kind of willing to roll the dice a little bit in this race.
All right. I also had a play here. I went with a $10 win bet, and I went with the New York horse, my main squeeze. But I do
I love it. Good for
you. I do want price float. I want price float because it's going to be the first time we're doing this two-turn mile thing. So 3-1, I'm not crazy about. But you know what? There's still a horse here called West Omaha, and it's trained by a man named Brad Cox. And that's going to take a ton of money at Oaklawn Park. I think that my main squeeze sits a really good trip. If she can handle the two turns, plus I get Mike Maker and Flavian Pratt at Oaklawn Park. Yeah. Yes, please. I'll take that. Like, I've seen it so many times where you have the big name jock come in from out of town and he just bulldogs these folks out of all of their wins. Like, I'm surprised, like, he doesn't just walk into the jocks room and say, get butt naked and take everyone's wallet. Like, it's ridiculous. So I kind of think that Flava Flav is going to be the man doing that on Saturday. And he's riding in a bunch of races. So I'm going with my main squeeze to win. Listen, the horse hadn't done anything wrong. I think if we didn't have the two-turn question, if we didn't have the box with an S next to the name of the stakes races, we'd be talking about a 4-5 horse on the morning line, quite possibly.
Yeah.
So
I think it's curious, and I don't know what Maker's answer is to this. And I don't think he has anybody else he's pointing towards the Gazelle. Maybe he does. But it's interesting to me that he runs this horse here rather than keeping her up in New York and running her in the Gazelle.
Right.
Which I would imagine would have been a slightly easier spot. So, it's just curious. Like, when I saw her name on the PPs, I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's cool. Like, take your shot. But like, that's a little surprising to me. So it didn't detract me from her, but it was just curious.
$750,000 will move some people some places, you know?
Yeah. No, you're totally right about that.
And then I'm going to also play another one of these part wheel, exactas here. I'm going with, my main squeeze. And then I'm taking a long shot that I kind of like here that I think basically gets the exact same trip as my main squeeze, except maybe a little bit off the rail. And that's the 4 All Things Go for Michael Pusic with Rocco Bowen up, who was a first time, you know, winner on debut last out. I mean, honestly, I think the horse, if it can just sit calmly and rate and kind of run that nice patient trip to the outside flank of my main squeeze, could be in the picture at a big price. So I played an exact of 1-4 with 1-3-4. I wheeled in Midshipman's Dance. That's owned by friends of the show, John Holloman, for Robertino Diodoro. Do look out for this horse, because this horse does nothing but try as hard as it possibly can. Just absolutely flying late sometimes, and we'll see how the stretch out didn't really go well in the Honeybee, but there was a little bit of a wonky ride. So I'm exacta there, 1-4 with 1-3-4. And speaking of 3-4, once again, I don't know what I'm doing with these transitions most of the time. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching Hall of Fame Bet's to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bet's app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching. Start winning with Hall of Fame Bets, and got to get a little rehydration interlude in.
Say this, say go DJ,
cause that's my DJ.
Say go DJ,
cause that's my DJ.
Cause that my dolphin. I've sang a lot this episode, Matthew. That's a problem. That's not good for anybody. I've heard you though. You got a little bit of velvet fog to you. You got the pipes.
You know, I joke with people. My mom raised me on like Neil Diamond and Tom Jones. And then my dad raised me on like Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. And so like, I was definitely the hippest, like 13-year-old kid, in middle school, with that musical background. But, I like those guys because, in particular, like Neil Diamond, it's just like, listen, I have an octave range basically, and all my songs are going to be in that range. And so I just love singing Neil Diamond songs because you don't have to strain your voice at all. And it's just fantastic. And I love Neil.
Yeah, yeah. From Sweet Caroline to We're Coming to America, Matthew can take it down, man. I gotta say though, Tom Jones is a sexy motherfucker. Every time that someone's like Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, I'm like, he's not even the greatest Tom, sirs.
No,
we're forgetting that a little Welshman named Tom Jones existed, and he had a lot of funk for a Welshman.
He had a lot of funk, and a lot of ladies were big fans of him.
That's pretty true.
Legendary stick man. Legendary stick man. That's the word.
All right, let's move on. Me and Matthew have a play on this one. Of course we do. What kind of jerks would we be if we didn't talk about this race?
That would be hysterical if we did that, though.
Yeah, yeah. Are you doing the Arkansas Derby? Nah.
No.
Pass. It's a hard pass over here. 9 furlongs. $1.5 million. The Arkansas Derby. The grade one Arkansas Derby for 3-year-olds. What is it? 100 Derby points on the line? Is that what it is?
100. 50 to second, 25 to third. Yeah.
All right. I'm ready. You got to tell me who's winning it.
I texted you earlier in the week. There's one horse that I immediately loved, and that's Liberal Arts. 15 to one on the morning line. I don't think we get 15 to 1, but I absolutely love this horse. I think this horse is a variation of Honor Marie of Catching Freedom, basically. That you get a horse now, second time back on a fast track, and you're going to see this horse move forward significantly. I love that this horse has never taken a step back in its career. This horse has only gotten faster every single time out, despite the layoff, has a grade three win in the street sense, comes back and runs third in the Southwest while hung wide when the rail was golden that day, as evidenced by Mystic Dan. And while people will look at that third, in which he almost got second over Just Steel by a neck, it was 9 lengths back to fourth place. Like that was a strung out field, but he was making up ground and he was flying late. I love the added distance. I love the arrogates in these sort of things. I mean, this horse was going to have distance for days up top. I think this horse will get an honest pace. I don't think it's going to be blistering, but I think it's going to be an honest pace and it's going to be strong. And this horse will sit and make that classic middle move. I just think 15 to 1, I just did $10 to win on this horse. And then out of the favorites, I have more faith in Timberlake than the others. And so I also did a $5 exacta box on Timberlake and Liberal Arts, just to kind of do a little bit of maybe a backdoor cover in that regard. In case Liberal Arts comes in second, my second choice comes in first, but those are my top two in this race.
It was always Timberlake. It was always Timberlake for me. I've decided I have a $10 win on Timberlake. I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to bet Timberlake to win all the way down to even money. If it's cuts, if we start hitting four to fives, that's when I'm about out. I'm out on, yeah, on the win pool action, because I do think that Timberlake will win 9-5, anything 2-1. If I could get 5-2 even, I don't think that I will see it, but basically anything north of even money, or even money itself, and I'm taking Timberlake. I just like this one better than Muth, and I kind of see this as a two-horse race. So I'm going to bet Timberlake to win, but I'm going to also try to hammer Timberlake in first and some exotics to try to beat Muth out of second. And that's how I'm going to try to make money in this race. So I got my $10 win on Timberlake. I think I might have saved you guys a couple dollars. I did my math perfectly. I can't remember. And then I did a $3 exacta, two with 4, 8, and 9. The four being Time for Truth. Maiden winner, ran in the Ozark, ran a good second to Valentine Candy, then came back and won a $75,000 optional claimer for Ron Monquette. Gets Rafael Bejarano up on there. The eight, Just Steal, that was kind of my long shot in the Rebel. Kind of felt like had a little bit of a rough trip, but I think could run back. And by Dwayne Lucas standards, very lightly raced. Only 10 career races. And then the 9, Mystic Dan. I actually know the connections of this one, too. Former players of Wolf Sheets, in fact. And I'm not saying that's how they got the money to buy the horse or anything. But, yeah, they might have already had that wealth on their own. They've been hyped about this horse, and I completely forgot about it until he romped in the Southwest. I also think that that race was absolutely perfect for him, so that last number is a little bit fluky. But if it's not, though, I'd like to use it in my exacta, because I'd like to get at least one of these horizontal or one of these vertical bets right. And then I did a $2 trifecta where I had two keys. I key the 2 in first, I go 4, 8, 9 in second, and I key Muth the 7 in third. So instead of trying to take a stand and say that I can beat that horse completely off the board, I just say he comes in third. That's what, a $6 play. Yeah. There we go. Boom.
There it is.
$6.
You know, it's interesting. Just Steal is a horse. You're right. By Dwayne Lucas standards, he's lightly raced. I do wonder if he's starting to get a little tired. You know, I do wonder if maybe he needs a break. It was my concern. And then with Mystic Dan, I mean, this goes back to me just not trusting Ken McPeak very much. But that's just one where I wonder if a horse has never stacked two good races against each other, really. It's kind of a little erratic sometimes. And I agree, though. I think Timberlake and Muth are going to take all the money. So I think a horse like Mystic Dan is probably going to go up, actually, from the morning line price a little bit. And I think there's a lot of narrative out there that that was maybe a fluky effort and people don't trust it. And, you know, now this is deeper waters with Brad Cox and Bob Baffert entering the race. And so, you know, you could end up getting a little bit of a price there. So yeah, listen, of the favorites, you and I share the enthusiasm for Timberlake. I'm going to take a shot against all of them and just kind of play chaos at Oaklawn. Which is never a bad option necessarily. So I just thought Liberal Arts, that's a horse that I got a Derby future on last in this pool, I think 2 back or something like that, at like 89-1. And so I just, you know, he's a horse. I just think, I don't know. It's a little bit of like simplification, like where I just think this horse has a good race in him and like a big race in him. And I'm probably going to chase him for a while and we'll see if that ends up happening. And he'll probably finish fourth in the Kentucky Derby and like, you know, just tear my heart out. But yeah, so we'll see, but it's going to be a great race. And I agree. I think Timberlake, he has every reason to take a big step forward from that Rebel. You know, I think when you look at Muth runs the same number every time. And that's a little concerning.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's not like Muth has faced like a real big full field or anything. There's a lot going against Muth as much as there is going for Muth. But the real value comes in either beating that horse completely off the board or at least into third place. Matthew's got one final play coming in race 13, 8 furlongs, $150,000 non-winners, a one something. I'm not here to read your damn conditions. Matthew, how are you closing out the card?
The only reason I included this race is I had $4 left over and I decided I'd do a $2 win place bet on a horse in the last race. And I was like, oh, well, that is good. So I'm just going to do a $2 win place on the number 8 Malibu Smart for Chris Hartman. We always talk about how the last race usually produces some level of chaos. And so the last race, never bet the favorite at Oaklawn because the favorite never wins the last race at Oaklawn. So, you know, I might as well go for an 8-1 shot here, a horse that has turned in really solid, consistent efforts the last several times out at this level, has a pretty good, versatile running style. And I like the fact this horse sat a little bit more forward last time out. And I think this horse at a mile might be a little bit better. I think if this horse can replicate that last effort that was at a mile and a 16th, but sit a little bit closer going a mile, I think that's the trip for this horse. Bejarano's up on the mount and 8-1 on the morning line. So I'm going to use just a little $2 win place to make it around 100 for the entire card.
Man. All right. So I already gave you one of my favorite new nicknames that I have for trainers with Funky mm-hmm. Bob Medina. You're actually, I wish you would have used the 9 in this race because it has two of my favorite personal Oaklawn nicknames that no one else in the world uses, with the horse being trained by Burl the Pearl McBride and being ridden by Chelsea C-Dash Bailey, as I like to call her, old C-Dash. I'm just going to go ahead and interject them since I didn't get the setup anyway, because I want those to catch on. And I know that you're, you know, bad about not being able to unhear things I say sometimes. So
I love it. I love it so much that I might very well just change my bet in the last race. I might just go $2 on the 9, $2 win place on the 9. The hell with all my analysis. We need C Dash and the Pearl to get this one home. And, I love it. I mean, Earl the Pearl Monroe, great basketball player. And so Earl the Pearl McBride, love it. Love a good C Dash as well. I will say I had a fraternity brother in college whose name was John Michael. And that was his first name. And it was John hyphen Michael. And we just called him the hyphen. And that was just his nickname. So he is still in my telephone as hyphen. And so that is how we still call him all these years later.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody's parents went out of the way to give him a nice name like John Michael, and here are these assholes calling him hyphen. There you go. It's okay. I would have done something of the same ilk, I would say. Matthew, what do you got going on this weekend with Naira Betts?
Got a lot going on, obviously. If people haven't seen it already, definitely encourage you to check out the live stream I did with Acacia Clement this morning. It's still up on my Twitter page, at El de Menace. We covered the Dubai races. She's actually over in Maidan. It was absolutely awesome. It was early morning for me. It was afternoon for her. And she was sitting in the balcony of her hotel that overlooked the track. You could see the turf course behind her. And the person in the direct room next to her, Frankie Dettori. So we were hoping that Frankie was going to like just walk out in his balcony by accident and like get on the live stream. Sadly, that did not happen. But Acacia was great and shared a lot of great insights. She's over there with Pandagate for the UAE Derby. But we talked about all that stuff. Obviously, a lot of great content around the races at Gulfstream Park, races at Oaklawn. Obviously, we even have a big weekend here at Aqueduct with the Excelsior Stakes. We got the Cross Country Pick 5, which is an all-stakes cross-country, starting with the Excelsior Stakes and then wrapping up with the 4 stakes races at Oaklawn. So a lot going on at Naira Betts, so make sure to check it out. Easiest way to do it is just go to at Naira Betts or go check my Twitter handle out, at Fail to Menace.
Yep. Come if you don't follow this person on horse racing Twitter, then you're doing horse racing Twitter wrong somehow. It would be my best way to describe Matthew. Matthew's having fun, making content, and doing a damn good job of it. So you, sir, are always, always a pleasure to have on the show.
Well, I feel the same way about you, always. And always enjoy talking to you about this. And let's hit some bets. And let's turn this $100 into a little bit more than $100.
I'm for it. Let's do it. Hey, you'll never go broke making a profit is what they tell me. All right. That's going to be it for me. We will catch you tomorrow. Andrew Champagne is going to be joining me. We're going to be talking the Oaklawn late pick five. That's right. We covered this whole damn card from the rooter to the tutor. We will catch you tomorrow. Have a good night.